Now, as in many years past, the conversation about affordable rentals remains the same. We don't have enough, and we need more. Kevin Carney has heard that talk for almost 40 years during his affordable housing development career in Hawaii. In 1997, he opened the Hawaii office of EAH, a nonprofit housing corporation. Recently completed EAH projects include the development of 192 units in Ewa and the rehabilitation of 119 units in Mililani. And while the nonprofit has almost 600 units in the pipeline, the target of affordability may be a little different than what some people may believe. Kevin Carney recently stopped by our studio, and we talked about what constitutes affordability now.
Affordable for what we do means 60% and below of the area median income. The affordable definition, according to HUD, is that you should not be paying more than 30% of your income for rent or a mortgage plus utilities.
To which many people are already rolling their eyes and laughing because so many people are already up at 50% or maybe even 60%.
Yes, and they have definitions for the various levels, whether you're overburdened or extremely overburdened with your housing payments.
So the idea of reality then, and how we have to adjust the reality that we all experience, what do we need to do to be able to get a much better reality check, if you will, about what affordability means?
Well, affordability means different things to different people, obviously, depending on how much you're making. And it's not just a housing issue. It's a complete socioeconomic issue, mainly having to do with the living wage. The living wage in Hawaii, according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, I believe is something like $37 an hour. Now, how many people make $37 an hour? Very few, really.
Our median income is somewhere, what, around $40,000,
$45,000? Average median income for Honolulu, and these are statistics put out by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The median income for Honolulu, I believe, is somewhere around $87,000.
But across the state?
Across the state, it's different. It's by county. So Honolulu is the highest county, so on the outer islands, it would be somewhat less than that, but not a lot less. I don't know what the specifics are.
Suffice it to say that people simply are not able to afford the kinds, in many cases, the kinds of houses that they would like to have, and that there may not even be a rental that they can find. We've been talking about this for such a long time, and yet it seems that all the talk hasn't exactly yielded a great push to have so many more units built consistently, despite what perhaps the governor would like or what has happened in the county of Honolulu, other places across the state. It always seems that we are consistently behind the curve and likely to stay that way. Do you see any way out of that scenario?
Unfortunately, no. I think we're going to be behind the curve, if you want to define it that way, for a long period of time. We're just not producing enough housing overall at all income levels, number one. But the biggest need for housing, per all the latest studies, and I shouldn't say latest studies. These studies go back years and years and years. The greatest need for housing are for those at 80% and below of the area median income. So if the area median income for a family of four is roughly $87,000, so you're talking somewhere in the $60,000 range and below. Unfortunately, there's very little subsidy programs available. Government subsidy programs to help subsidize housing for those folks from 80% on up of the area median income. Below 80%, particularly between 80% and 60% of the area median income, there's a very limited amount of subsidy available. And that's one of the reasons why EAH works and serves those at 60% and below of the area median income, because that's where the largest amount of housing subsidies exist.
You're soon going to be speaking to lawmakers this week. What is it that you think that you'll be able to tell them that they'll be able to hear differently that may result in some better action?
I don't know that they're going to hear anything different from me.
Which is part of the whole issue that we've been talking about this for a long time. Is there going to come a point where we will be forced to do something simply because we won't be able to house people who are taking the jobs that are necessary for Hawaii to flourish?
I think that point may come. What they're going to hear from me is the same thing I've been preaching for a number of years now. I mean, I've been in this business for over 20 years now, and this situation as far as lack of housing and people applying for housing has just continued to get worse. We operate 18 properties on three islands here, over 1,800 units, and you know, we have waiting lines for all of our properties. What I'm going to say to the state legislatures is, you know, your organization, the state legislature, declared a housing crisis a number of years ago. I think it was in 2011. Since that time, we haven't seen any major increase in funding, subsidy funding, to help us achieve and produce more affordable rental housing. In addition to that, in the last couple of years, the state legislature put a cap on one of our major funding sources, which is the conveyance tax, which supplies funding to the Rental Housing Revolving Fund. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but the Rental Housing Revolving Fund is one of our biggest sources of gap financing. And the money that comes from the conveyance tax, we get 50% of that conveyance tax. So every time a property is sold or bought, there's a tax paid to the state. 50% of that tax goes into the Rental Housing Revolving Fund. I think it was 2 years ago that the state legislature put a $38 million cap on that transfer of funds in the middle of a housing crisis. $38 million, it sounds like a lot of money to me and you.
Well, to most people who think that's huge.
Right.
But in terms of what it will buy you.
What it will buy you is roughly probably maybe 300 units of housing.
And
that's a stretch.
That's presuming that you have infrastructure. That's presuming that you have land that's available.
Yes. Again, it's money that gets leveraged. In other words, that $38 million is not covering the total cost. That's the gap.
No, it's a bargaining chip.
Have. Yeah, it gets leveraged. The primary funding source that we have, that anyone who serves 60% and below, is the low-income housing tax credit program, which is both a federal program and a state program. That combination usually provides us with somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% of equity needed, right? There's usually always a gap. Typically on a 100-unit project, we may have a $10 million gap. The gap is the amount of money needed in order to carry the debt on that property.
So I hear you saying that lawmakers have to understand what that cap has really done in forestalling any real movement on making some more of those affordable units. But beyond that, also understanding that there is a responsibility to do a lot more than what the rhetoric might suppose.
Exactly, because that funding alone from that source is definitely not enough. Each year, the governor also tries to put more money into the Rental Housing Revolving Fund, using a capital improvement program. I believe this last year he asked for $40 million, and the fund received $25 million. The year before that, I believe he asked for $100 million, and the fund received $50 million. So that's on top of the $38 million that would be transferred. It's discouraging for us as housing advocates when the governor is trying. It's usually, even though, you know, I applaud the governor for his efforts, as a housing advocate, it needs to be 10 times that amount. Otherwise, we're never going to catch up to demand. It's just not going to happen. There's just too much demand out there. We're so far behind. One study, I believe, showed we're 16,000 units behind for 80% and below AMI. So typically, we're building maybe 300 to 400 units per year with the funding that's available. Mm-hmm. So when you do the math, it's going to take us a long time. In the meantime, demand's going to increase because a lot of people want to live in Hawaii, not to mention the people who already live here.
This is not a happy story that you bring, but it really is a slice of reality that so many people experience. And I hope that when you are able to talk to lawmakers this week, that that will be perhaps better understood this time around. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. And we will try. We're constantly reminding them and trying to educate the new ones as to how we do business and how this all works so that they can understand better the need.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Kevin Carney is Vice President and Principal Broker of the Nonprofit Housing Corporation, EAH Hawaii. He's a certified National Affordable Housing Professional Executive, President of the Nonprofit Housing Hawaii, and has almost 40 years of real estate management and development experience in Hawaii. EAH currently has 1,800 affordable rental units under management on Oahu, Kauai, and Maui.